stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Oh, gracious Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. Lord, once again, you've allowed us to be able to come. Give us health and strength again. And Lord, may we use these blessings that you give us to serve you and to give back to you in some small way. Lord, it may be just a testimony to someone. Father, helping guide someone. Lord Jesus, her heart's desire, Father, is to see all make it in. So Lord, guide us to what we can do, Father, in your work. Lord, we may not all be preachers or teachers or Lord, but Father, some way, somehow, Father, we can help the kingdom. We love you so much. Bless each and every one that's gathered here this morning. Lord, and may we feel your presence and receive from you what you have for us. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. Do you love him this morning? I'm glad to be out. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you would, in our Only Believe books. I'd like to start page 68. Great is thy faithfulness. Have you found him faithful to you? Every situation. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. O great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy. the saints. Amen. He's so wonderful. Praise his name. Page 92. Turn with me if you would. Speak, my Lord. Amen. Answer his call, saints. He speaks to you. Amen. Hear the Lord of hosts sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who'll go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I will answer, Lord, send me. Soon the time for reaping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest. May we harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you hear him call, saints? Amen. Do you hear him lead you? Maybe it's just a testimony to somebody. A little guidance, word of encouragement. Amen. He can use everyone. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up to the offering? Ask the blessing. Yes. Let the Lord have his way.
Hallelujah.
Let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no peace, there's no rest until the Lord. Amen. Let the light in his hand pour.
Brother Paul, would you like to take the request?
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord Jesus, we just look to you for help and strength this day, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we come before you, Lord Jesus, your people, Lord Jesus, you know what your God's heart and desire, Lord Jesus. Every individual need that we have, Lord Jesus, pray just come down and lead us in a special way, Lord Jesus.
You may be seated. Amen. Would someone have a special song or something on your heart? Amen. Praise his name. Would you have something this morning, Karen? Ask if you'd come.
Desire to please the Lord, to live by every word. And as each day draws closer, I can clearly see that I need more and more of Him and less of me. I need complete.
Let's all stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads. We're going to sing a little song, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Again, and just praying that we'll be able to say something that will help, encourage, strengthen someone along their way. Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that we have had this opportunity one more time. And Lord, as we come humbly before you and your word laying here, Lord, as we will rehearse, and we realize, Lord, that you're the only one that can impart to us revelation, Lord, or make it real to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, we just pull upon you and ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself greater unto us. And Lord, just help each one of us to just listen. And Lord, maybe it may seem extremely elementary to some, Lord, and maybe it'll seem like, boy, what a text. But Lord, you know all things. And Lord, we cannot preach anything unless you let us bring it, Lord. And we just bring what you lay upon our hearts. And for Lord, you know the needs of each and every one of us that stands here this morning. And we're thankful, Lord, that it's not in our care, but in your care. And you said, Lord, you watched over us as you watch over. If you care about the lily, how much more would you care about your own? And we just thank you this morning, Lord, that we cast all of our cares upon you. And we just yield ourselves unto you, Lord, and ask you to speak to our hearts through the way of your word. And we'll never fail to see you receive the glory for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles over to Romans, the 10th chapter. Amen. And, Romans 10, and we're going to read to start there about the 10th verse. Amen. Trying to keep all my notes in order here so I don't get jumbled up here. And we'll begin here in Romans, the 10th chapter, and begin about the 10th verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. As we were speaking Thursday evening a little bit concerning showing how that God was in the prophets, and God in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And as we were going through those things, I'd kind of like for you to keep that in mind and move along a little further with it this morning. But realizing God sent men to bring his word, and I'm going to turn over, and we're going to read Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. I quoted it Thursday night, but I'd like to read it so it's fresh in your hearts. But just want you to think about this. Brother Branham made this in God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. And this was preached March 17th, 1963. He said, God won't leave his program And that's the reason we know that this day it's got to be simple, see? He always works in simplicity. But God in the beginning that could have made the sun preach the gospel, or the winds preach the gospel, or an angel preach the gospel, but he ordained men for that purpose, and he never changes it. He never ordained denominations. He never ordained groups of men. He ordained men to preach the gospel, not machinery, mechanical devices, or any angelic being. It was men. So I want you to keep that in mind. As I said, I'm just your brother up here this morning, and any pastor that comes up, he's just bringing what God has laid upon his heart. As he's went in before prayer, and God's just using our vocals, but it's God's word we're going to repeat, and it's God's word we're going to rehearse, and not our own ideas. And God is a God of simplicity. As Brother Brandon was bringing that, just remember, God is not confusing. God is not, he doesn't make it hard. Even a child can understand what God is saying. If you just read it and take it the way he said it, God means exactly what he said. And how Brother Branham typed that many times was saying, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was manifested exactly what he meant, and it comes forth. But God sends the fivefold ministry and many different gifts. If God didn't send a prophet to break down and to reveal the things, each gift, God uses it at its place and time to bring forth what he wanted seen. And we've seen God sent a prophet in this age to tie up those loose ends and put it down and say, thus saith the Lord, here it is. And today, as we get up to bring forth God's word, we're not adding to it, we're not taking from it, but we're going to read exactly what he said and keep it in context with what God has placed before us and watch God give the increase to what God has provided for us. It's not me, it's not how much I can preach, how good I can preach. I can't save you, I can't make you see anything in this Bible. Faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And God gives the increase, no man has anything to do with it. And we must realize that it's not, oh, I need to hear brother so-and-so, I need to hear so-and-so, I need to be here, and I need to get this. No, God gives the increase. If you come before God with an open heart, and as God's word's coming forth, and as you sit there with your ground open and fertile before him, your heart laid open, and asking God to give you your portion, you watch God give unto you what you have need of. And it doesn't matter who the preacher is, if it's God's word, it will bring the increase to you. But God has different gifts. Some can teach it and break it down fine. That's the purpose of a teacher. A pastor is to watch over a flock and to guide them and to be there to look for their needs. An evangelist comes in and stirs you up. But you can't live on just one. God's got gifts he give to the church, and they all have a place and a purpose. And God will bring it just the way he wants it to be brought, and it'll do the work that God set it forth to do. But remember what Paul said here in Hebrews 13:8. And as we have said, many men have set forth rules. And sometimes God's word comes. And God's words is a book. It's a guide. It's to be followed and it's to be obeyed. As God set down his instructions to the Israelites, and he told them what they had to live by under the law and what they had to do, he expected it to be lived and obeyed exactly the way he put it forth. And God's word, we know, is cutting. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we're here to be conformed to the image of his son. And we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into this world speaking lies. But God had a plan and a purpose to bring to seed, to life, that little germ of seed of life that he placed in there before there was ever a moon or star in its due season. In the elected heart, he would water it with his word and give it the baptism of the Holy Ghost to help it reproduce exactly what he said it would be. But we've got to stop and remember that when God's word comes forth, and it's showing us that we can't be like this world. We're not to be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we come into the word of God, and it's cutting and it's sharpening. And that's why it's not a rule. It's not a regulation. Sometimes, you know, you look at the Amish and the Mennonite, as I mentioned them Thursday night. They have to wear their cap. That's a rule. And the reason they wear that's because they don't understand the scriptures. And to them, it becomes a law. They have to do that to be who they are. And you and sisters, under this message, without a revelation, wearing a dress becomes a law. It becomes a rule. Why do I not cut my hair? Why can't I wear makeup? Why can't I do all these things that everybody else is doing? Because that's of the world, and we're to be transformed. And not to be conformed to that, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And that is God laying right here before us in word form this morning. And it's been presented to us. So I don't go through my life living against a law. It's a law to me. I have to cut my hair and keep it trimmed. And I want to look like a Christian man. I don't want to look like this world.
I don't go get tattoos, and I don't pierce my ears and get rings in my nose. I don't do all these things, but not because it's a law, but I do it because God placed a desire down in me to be conformed to the image of His Son. And by God's grace, He's opened up my eyes to realize that this was God speaking to me. And God sent men to bring this word back to my edification, that as being a member of that bride of Jesus Christ, it would bring forth fruit unto righteousness and glory to His name. But it's so easy sometimes when we look into what men, when men begin to preach and the word begins to come forth, and maybe it's showing us our short places. Maybe it's showing me that I'm not a wife under subjection to my husband. Maybe it shows that I need to get rid of some of the worldly cosmos that I've inherited and taken on. And then it looks like that man's telling me I got to do this. And that man's telling me it's not no man. It's God's word. But we're not here to make Christians by governments, as we've seen it tried to be done. And we're not going to rule over you. But you'll notice that as God's word comes forth, if you can get the man out of the picture and realize it's God speaking to you, it's God trying to show you what He wants for you in your life. Wearing dresses, not wearing makeup, not cutting your hair, not going to all these worldly events and things that are not Christ-like. It doesn't become a law anymore. It becomes a desire in your heart. Lord, I have no desire for that. I want to be exactly what You showed me. And that's why we must cry out for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because without it, it's just rules and regulations. It's just, why is it I got to live this way because the church said I have to live this way. I have to do that because Pastor so-and-so said I have to do it that way. But let God enter into your heart and give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll see that God said, I've got to be a Christ-like. I've got to be a Christian. I was in here to be conformed to His image and not the image of this world, not the image of some church. It's not the expression of some church we're supposed to have, but the expression of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said, in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But let these things become alive. But now, as Paul puts it, he says, remember them which have the rule over you. So God gives these gifts. He places them in the church. He put a pastor there to lead a group of people. He's there to watch over them and to look for things that where Satan's trying to creep in and take them unawares. And maybe they're having trouble in life. That pastor's been sent for their purpose to help them. But just remember, Paul says, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And be not carried about with the divers and strange doctrines, for it is good thing that the heart be established with grace. So think about that this morning. Where men are getting up all over the Sunday morning, all over this earth today, men have got up and men are standing behind pulpits. And as we stand here with God's precious word, you've got to make sure you never let the man enter into the picture. You've got to look into God's word and let God's word judge our hearts as we sit here this morning and see how God uses His gifts. So just think about it. Let's, with that in mind, let me read this. This is in the message, The Breach Between the Seven Church Ages and the Seven Seals, paragraph 86 and 87. And I want you to think this morning, is oftentimes as the word's coming forth and a minister, God using a minister, is trying to show you what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, what a changed life is. And we look at all these things and stop to think about this for a moment. It might be a dress. It might be not cutting your hair. It might be a wife and not under subjection to her husband. It might be a husband not loving his wife, not correcting his children. This is all word that's laying out here for us to follow. And all of this is laying here. And through those things, we might see smoking, drinking, cursing. All this other stuff goes in there too. It's all sin. Just listen as Brother Branham put it here. He said, see, today, as advanced as we are in medicine, we still don't know nothing about these things. You say he's got cancer. Well, that ain't nothing. That's just the name of what it is. That's the name of the medical name, cancer. That don't have anything to do with what it is. That's the name we call it. We just call it the name cancer, but really it's a breakdown. It's a devil. And now we say sin. We just call it sin. Break it down. What is sin? A lot of people say drinking, committing adultery. No, that's the attributes of sin. That's what sin causes, see? The real sin is unbelief. That's where it's named and called out. If you're a believer, you don't do those things. But no matter how holy you try to make yourself, how religious you try to be, if you do those things, you're an unbeliever, and that's scriptural. So think about that this morning. If there's one thing that this word can point out that I'm not doing, And it might be drinking, it might be cursing, it might be smoking, it might be not being under subjection to my husband as a wife, it might be not loving my children, it can be all of these things. God's word has set forth what a Christian life is. He sent a prophet to express it. And if these things be lacking in my life, it's unbelief. It's because I don't believe what God truly said is why it's prominent. But you let God, through the hearing of his precious word, come in and strike that thing in my heart and reveal it to me with a revelation, you watch that thing go away, because then I'm a believer. And you watch God take your life over and make it live. But let's go here to Acts, the 10th chapter, if you would. And let's look at an example of God using his gifts. And think about this for a moment. Amen. And just to save time, let's just start about the 19th verse. And this is where Peter, God had showed him the vision concerning the sheet with all the things in it, and told him not to call clean or unclean. But we'll just pick up about the 19th verse in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit saith unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am whom ye seek, and what is the cause wherefore ye came? And they said, Cornelius is the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report. Among all the nations of the Jews was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in a house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. And now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I want you to think about that. God sent an angel down to Cornelius and said, You call my servant Peter and have him come. And then they asked Peter, Let us hear what God commanded thee to say. Watch God using his provided channel here. As we saw in the book Acts, the second chapter, when Peter began to stand up and he began to bring the word back to the remembrance, how it pricked their heart. And what caused them to say, Peter, what must we do? And Peter told them to repent and be baptized, and they should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Watch God use his gift, and watch it bring forth the product that he said it would produce. But here he said, Send there, and immediately therefore I sent thee, and thou hast well commanded thee. Down to the 34th verse. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, that he might be feared and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and begin from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all that were opposed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness,
And through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. And while Peter yet spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that there should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And I want you to look at how God moves on all scenes. And as we've come here today to sit under God's precious word, he is the only one that can strike your heart with the reality of what he's provided in this last days. And we must remember it's an individual affair. The word of God may come forth and one will look at God and say, that's too much. I don't want to live like that. The word will come forth to someone else and there's something in their heart that's just striking, saying, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. God predestinated a people to be conformed to the image of his son. And as that word comes forth, it strikes. And that light will catch everyone that's been predestinated to life, no matter where they are. But if somebody hasn't been predestinated to life, that word can come and it'll follow the same word that'll make one raise up and shout, amen, glory to God, that's me. We'll make another one turn their back and say, Lord, that's not for me. That's too much. I don't know about that. But how we must prayerfully consider God's word and all of God's word, and make sure that we, as we get into God's word, as I had said, it's not for me to accept it based on what my parents accepted or what my brother accepts or what my sister accepts. But it's to me as an individual before God, as that word comes forth, what's he quickening to my heart? What's he quickening to your heart? And we must see the reality of that individual affair. Let's turn over here to Luke, the 8th chapter with me, if you would. Amen. Luke 8. And very familiar scripture, but let's read this morning in light of these things. Amen. And Luke 8, and let's start here at the first verse. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, and Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Jonah the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, there came to him out of every they came to him out of every city, and he spake by a parable. And he said, a sower went forth to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing that they might not understand. So always remember that God's word was set out to be revealed to some, and some's never going to see it. It's been given to some. Predestination. God predestinated a people. And not everyone is, but he predestinated some. And it's not for me to say who's predestinated. I've got nothing in it. God predestinated, and all he asked me to do this morning was to read his word and to bring it back to your mind. God will give the increase where it's needed. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just the man that's standing here rehearsing the word. The same as Peter, when he was sent down there, God had already predestinated that situation. Before there was a moon or a star, God knew he was going to send Peter down to Cornelius' house to preach the word to them that he might save them that needed saving. God's got it in his plan, and we've got nothing to do with it. All we can do is follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when it's our turn to bring forth the word of God, we get up and deliver what he lays upon our hearts. And it's not my ability, it's not my merit that's going to make it any better or any worse. God is going to give the increase where God sees it fit to give it. And how men have got up in themselves, and we've seen it in the past. And when you can see a minister walk onto the platform with a bold, proud look,
and you see it. I didn't see it when I was there, but the place that we left, when I look back now and can see the proudness and the look at me, look who I am, look what I have done. And I see it today in men. God might have used their ministry to help someone, to heal someone, to raise someone from the dead. And instead of giving God the glory, they get puffed up in themselves. And then other men, you need to come over here and hear brother so-and-so preach. Let him lay hands on you. You need to, God uses his gifts correctly. But you'll never see that man that God is using justly raise up in himself and make sure that God, he will always make sure God gets the glory for what's happening through his ministry. Brother Branham never did raise up. Every time, look what God did through him. In every prayer line, he said, I'm just your brother. I'm just here by the grace of God. And he sent me to speak to you. He sent me to deliver this message to you. Never once did he say, look what I've done. Look who I've healed. Look what I raised. He always said, look, when God raised that boy up down there in Finland, look what he did. He showed me it was going to happen and he did it. Never did you see him raise up. And that's the way it's got to be with every true minister of God. When they start tooting, oh, God revealed to me. God showed me. Oh, I've seen this. No, go back and look at the simplicity of God. He sent them to bring it forth. Now God will vindicate and manifest all of his true fivefold ministry. You will see their life reflect exactly Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not taking to, not adding from it. And God will use them men to do what he needs done in this last hour. He's done it from the time he set it in order till now. And until we're caught home, that work will be in place. But oh, wait till we get over there and he reveals himself throughout eternity. Oh, won't that be wonderful? Amen. Here, and let's continue on down. He said, and the disciples asked him, and he says unto you, that seeing they might not understand. Now the parable of the seed, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root. For a while they believe, but in the time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and bring no fruit to perfection. Cares of riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick that they which enter into may see the light. For nothing in secret, there is nothing in secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. So think about that as we realize God's word is but a seed. And it's being sowed into our hearts every day. And I want you to think, as Brother Branham put it like this in the message, The Voice of the Sign. We'll just start about paragraph 181. He says, you can't see things. I don't know what you think about them. I'm only, he had been talking about some other things. He says, you can't see these things without. I don't know what you think about them. I'm only responsible for reading them and talking about it. It's up to you. Can you believe the sign and then believe the voice that follows the sign? Oh my. Look, Moses, the type of going out now, he was to tell those people about a promise that had been given to the fathers. I remember my promise to their fathers. Now, what was Moses to do to turn the hearts of the people back to what the fathers had said? And as Moses was then, so is Malachi 4 to turn the people back to the faith of the fathers. And all these scruples of denomination and so forth, get back to the word. I know you, lots of people like to do that. I'm not just scolding you here. These tapes go around the world, see, everywhere. I'm not scolding you, but I'm scolding to whoever it is and where it belongs. I am a seed sower. That's all I know to do. It's up to you to make the decision. Flee the wrath that is to come, people. Don't think because you're Pentecost, don't think because your mother was fine, sanctified Methodist, or your daddy a good shouting Baptist. Don't think that's going to have anything to do with you. Don't think because you belong to the church that they built or the church that you're building now. Don't think because you Pentecostals spoke in tongues and danced in the Spirit and ran up and down the floors 40 years ago. Don't think because you had healing meetings and so forth. Don't fail to see that sign of a pillar of fire that God has vindicated and the voice behind it to turn back to God. Don't let it pass you. There is a sign and a voice. And we can truly see that why God sent the prophet in this age to bring us back, to wipe out the confusion, to get rid of the mass chaos that was in all the denominations. And we've been called out of all of that and brought to a place where God's word is laying pure before us. He sent us a vindicated prophet to show us exactly where to stand and what to believe. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to go ask somebody else, what did he mean? God give the word. And if I want to know what was meant, as I sat underneath the anointing, open up your heart to God and watch God bring that word to your mind and teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. God will give the increase. God will deal with your hearts. It's not, I need to hear brother so-and-so say it just like this and then I'll get it. No, Brother Branham himself couldn't give you the revelation of what he was bringing. It took God to reveal to you what he was saying when he brought forth the word. As mighty as he was, it wasn't his place. It wasn't his gift to be able to say, I give you eternal life. God's already give you eternal life if you've got eternal life. He was just God's mouthpiece to bring us to the recognition that God has called a people and predestinated them to this purpose, that in those last few moments of time they would be conformed to his image and there would be a bride here without spot or blemish, washed by the waters of the word to be presented to Jesus Christ as a bride. And oh, by God's grace, we should hope to find each one of ourselves present in that as we look through God's word. But we must remember God's word is being sowed. It's being broadcast, just as Brother Branham said he was a seed sower. Ministers are up this morning. We're just broadcasting the same seed. We're throwing it out. We're pushing it out there. Here's what God said. It's planted. It's up to God to get it into the right atmosphere, that the water of the word would anoint it and the Holy Ghost would strike it and set it afire, that it would bring forth and reproduce the life that's inside that germatized seed if it's laying in there. But oh, how we must give God the glory. We must make sure that we're looking to Jesus Christ and him alone. For by him alone, by one name, is salvation given. And oh, mess, we realize that it's not my church, it's not my pastor, but it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doing exactly what he said he would do back here in the book of Acts. Doing it today the same. No change, no different. He is God and he saves whom he will. And he reveals himself to whom he will. Not to him that runneth, not to him that would, but unto whom God has shown mercy. And by God's grace, may we cry out this morning that we would be one that God has shown mercy to. That no matter, maybe I've been serving God for 40 years, but pray to God that I don't miss the revelation of what he sent that would bring me to that final change of this body. That I wouldn't accept some creed or some doctrine or some man's idea, that I don't need to go that far. That's not necessary in my life when God plainly declares it in his word. Lord, grant us the grace to accept it exactly and be as the Virgin Mary was and say, Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. And watch it bring forth exactly as God said it would. But oh, may it stir our hearts. Hey, man, we got so many. We get so caught up in wanting to go as a group. We want to be together. And that's wonderful. As we come together as brothers and sisters and we fellowship around the word. But we're here as individuals before God to let him have the preeminence. Someone's been predestinated to come to this place that he's promised us. This is in the message, The End Time Sign Seed, preached March 1962, paragraph 7 and 8. He says, now God and his word is the self-same being. Think of it. And I believe that God will judge the world someday, not by an act of Congress, not by an act of a church, but by his word, he will judge the world. And if we had to take the church, organized church, which one of them is right? They're different so much one from another. The Catholic difference from the Protestant. The Protestant's difference from the Orthodox. Why? We're different every one. So which one of them would be right? We would have a confusion in our minds constantly. And a person wouldn't know what to do. And a just God, the judge of all earth, will surely give us something to be judged by. And think about it today. It's right into the message ranks. You got groups of men on this side that won't fellowship with men on that side. Not upon the word, but upon their ideas, they separated. God's word's still laying there. They didn't separate because of God's word. They separated because they made an idea contrary to God's word. If they'd have stayed with it, we'd all still be in fellowship. And that's what happened to the denominations. One, I want to be a this, and I want to be a that, and I want to be a this. Come back to God's word. That's where the unity's laying. That's where it lays that brings brothers into continuity and keeps the fellowship of the brothers together. It's not, he says, no. What did God say? And God's word does separate us today. Think about it. As God's word come, the absolute's laying here now. There's no argument about it. There's nothing to be decided. God done and declared what it will be, and I've got nothing to add to it. And if I can't see it, Lord, help me. But it's got to be right. This is the truth. God delivered it exactly the way he wanted it brought, and he vindicated it with his own pillar of fire. Think about it. And you come and say something against it, it'll not be forgiven you now. Oh, how we best be careful to guard our words, to make sure if we don't understand something that we're cautious and say, Lord, I may not understand that, but open my heart to it. There's many things God declared through that prophet. Changing of the soul, marriage and divorce. All these different things that came forth, and this one raises up and says it's this way. One raises up and says it's this way. God gave it the way he meant it to be said, right off of his precious word. And we best accept it the way God delivered it. For Brother Branham, just think about that. God sent a prophet. Even in when he brought forth the church age, the things that are in the church age book, the things that are in souls that are in prison. And we look and we see even things in marriage and divorce and all these other messages. You can take every one of them after, when God began to reveal himself and show forth what that plan was. And Brother Branham stand there and say, that's thus saith the Lord. You take one thing from it, add one thing to it, who you arguing with then. Think about it, saints, that we must be very cautious not to accept. Maybe my dear loved one doesn't like it like this. They don't believe it like that. But if God said it that way, you better toe the mark, and it's an individual affair. Don't revisit the sins of the past and the unbelief that's been generated from this message from people that didn't want to live a life dedicated and consecrated to Christ and give up of their own selves and to die out and to receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and surrender themselves to let God have his perfect way in their life. But they just wanted to take a form and a fashion and attach themselves to a message and attach themselves as a Christian. But God said a Christian is to be Christ-like. His righteousness, his holiness, all of it comes forth. That's why you will see women dress holy and modest. You'll see men that want to be men. They're not all cut up in this world and acting like the world. And that's why you'll see individuals. May not be the whole church. You might go in and half of the church is caught up in some ungodly thing going on, but there might be one sitting there that says, I'll not be party to that. I won't be party to that that's contrary to God's word. But no, and individuals, young people, may have to. There's a spot for each one of us. Some of us are aged, old, middle-aged, young. But there's got to be a place for young people that can stand and say, God has spoke to my heart, and I will stand like this no matter what every other young person does. God revealed to me that this is the life that I have to live. This is God's word to me. I know God was talking to me when he said that, and I've got to toe the mark. And many may find you to be an oddball, as Brother Branham preached. Many may find you to be odd, and oh, that's just so strange. I don't know why you feel that way. Our church believes in listening to country music. Our church believes in listening to rock and roll. Our church don't find nothing wrong with listening to Elvis Presley. What about all these things that's going on out here, all these new groups that I don't even have a clue of today? That's why I said we forget what God's called us to. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. And there's only two spirits at work in this land today, and it's pretty easy to see which spirit's controlling the thing that you're looking at. Just bear that in mind as we move forward, and God is dealing with individuals. Open up your heart to him and say, Lord, take me further. Let me be an example for you. That's why we've been sent, to be an image and a reflection of him in this last few moments of time. Let's see, where was I at here? A person wouldn't know what to do. A just God, the judge of all earth, will surely give us something to be judged by. And now I read in the Bible that heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. I read in the Bible that whosoever shall take anything out of it or add anything to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life, and that it stands just the way it is. And many try to say it's been tampered with, it's been done this way or that. I do not believe that. I believe there's got to be some kind of a standard that God will judge the church by or the world. And there's got to be some standard, and it cannot be in church organization because they're different. Who would know what to do? But there is a standard, and that's his word. And I believe God watches over his word. I believe that the word is punctuated exactly the way God wants it. The Bible is God's word to the people.
And that's where the reason I believe in that word, and I believe that word is a seed. And if that seed is sowed in the right ground and watered by the Holy Spirit, it will bring forth of its kind. Any promise God made, God will do it. Amen. It's nothing that I got a control over. God's got it all in His plan. He will see and watch over that word to make sure that it's vindicated and manifested and reproduces itself exactly as He said it would. Amen. I've been 30 minutes already. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Let me just finish up on this. Amen. Amen. We'll just finish up on this. There is a man here that can turn on the light. This was preached December 29th, 1963. Just bear this in mind as he was speaking. Paragraph 77. All natural life comes by His spoken word, and the sun is His spoken word. He said He created a great light in the heavens for the day and a lesser light for the night. And all natural life has to come by God's spoken word. A flower cannot grow without the light of God's spoken word to shine upon it. For the sun, the S-U-N, is spoken word of God. When He said, let there be light, it was God's spoken life. And no matter how much people try to say this, that, or the other, it still remains the same. You have to have that sun. So life natural can only come by the spoken word of God. And spiritual life, eternal life, can only come by God's spoken word of life. And life was the S-O-N this time. In Him is light. And in Him is no darkness. He is God's spoken light. Is that right? God's spoken word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it's forever God, see? And it takes the light of God to strike the Word, to make it live. And here is what He spoke. Now let the light shine, amen. Let the light shine. The light will bring every word to its right position in its season. You see, when it comes time. Sometimes that grain lays in the earth dormant, all through the winter, like seed, winter, wheat sowed in the ground. But when that sun gets just right, oh, it's got to live. And it can't live without the sun. God has made every promise for every age and every day. And when the light gets right and shines upon it, it'll produce just exactly what the Word said. Because He is the light and the life. God's Word comes only by the Bible. God's Bible is the printed form of the Son of God, because the Bible said that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's God revealing Himself through Christ, and Christ is the Word. And it takes the light of God to shine upon that Word to vindicate it, to prove that God still speaks life, eternal life. He speaks natural light, brings the life. Life only comes by light, the Word made manifest or made flesh. And when all the promises become in the Bible become manifest, it is when Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh among us. God always works through man. Man is God's subject. Notice, now made flesh. When the Word becomes flesh, it becomes manifested. Like take the Word and put it in the right position, in the right kind of ground, it'll bring forth. The seed will bring forth of its kind. And the Word brought into the right kind of heart, it'll manifest itself. It'll bring forth light. It'll break forth open, all right? Nothing natural or spiritual can live without God's light. And life can only come then by light. Nothing natural, nothing spiritual can live without God's light. Think of that, all right? But when He sends us light and see and does all these things, and then we reject it. Now that's the pitiful part, when light is rejected, when it's sent to us. So God is sending His light to us through the form of His precious Word. And He's declared Himself and how we can only live by Him. And through Him is the only way to have life. And may we truly yield ourselves to Him and open up our hearts. There is a right truth laying before us. And don't be confused. Are the Mennonites right? Are the Amish right? Is it the denomination? Who's right? Everybody claims to be a Christian. God done and declared. There's no argument. He sent a prophet in this day to show us where it lays. And there's nothing to argue with. God done and delivered it. There's no, I need to add to it, and I need to deliver it in a special way to make it different from what He said. No, that's not what it is. Bring it the way He said. God sends teachers to bring that Word and to be able to draw out a picture and to break it down and to reveal it in a way that it'll make the Holy Spirit an opportunity to deal in your heart and to show you. God uses His gifts, every one of them, for His purpose. But don't never realize that it's, don't think it's the man that's giving me revelation.
As we've heard it said in the past, I thank God for brother so-and-so, because without him, I don't know where I would be. Without God, I don't know where I would be. God provided the channel, and God give gifts unto the church till we all come to the unity of the faith. And God will use those gifts precisely. As long, but you come in the right spirit with your heart open, laying before God, asking God for revelation. You don't come asking the pastor for revelation. You're asking God, Lord, reveal yourself to me. That as that word comes forth, it will strike my heart with a reality, Lord. And you will give the increase in my life that will bring glory to your name. For we were predestinated to the praise of his glory. Amen. I pray it may, as you are able to take something from it. And I pray that you don't feel, God knows what we need, saints. And I don't know, but we're just going to bring it the way he gives it to me. Well, that's all I can do, because I ain't smart enough to go in there and break it down any other way. And all I can do is I feel led of the Holy Spirit to read a quote. I'm going to read that quote, and God will take it where it needs to go. But I know one thing, I serve a living God, and he said he wouldn't lose one of his own, and he watches over them himself. And all my, he will see them through. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Wonder if we could sing that little chorus. It's on page 282 in your songbook if you need words. It's just a little chorus. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Amen. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. Sing it again. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. Oh, may that be our heart's prayer. Lord, I'm reaching out to you. Let me be an example, no matter my age or my place. Let me be an example of your word made manifest through my mortal body in this last few moments of time. Christ was the word made manifest. God lived through his body to express the word. And God will do the same through you and I as individuals for the word that's been allotted for us and finish his great work. Oh, may we yield ourselves to him. Amen. Brother Joseph, would you like to come dismiss us this morning? Yeah. Amen.
Excitement in the word the devil struck us with. There's something about this that nothing can equal this, Lord. It just feels good every single time to be here, God. Nothing in life can satisfy like you do, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, as the word has come forth from the pulpit, that you can touch each and every heart here, Lord God. You know what everybody needs in their heart. You know what I need. Your Bible says, where thou shalt young man cleanse his way, Lord. By taking heed there to according to thy word. And thy word has come forth, Lord, and I need cleansing, Lord. We all need cleansing, Lord God.
Yes.
Please, Lord, cleanse each and every one of us, Lord. Wash us as white as snow, Lord God. And when you do come, Lord, we will all be ready to go with you. For no one wants to be left behind, Lord. None of us do. But we know there's a long road ahead of us, Lord. Please, God, take your word today and make it real to everybody's heart.
Yes, Lord.
Please, Lord, give us the revelation behind it. But let's not just ask that just because the pastor said to ask it. But what does it mean to ask for revelation, Lord? Teach us what that means, Lord God. Make your road each and every individual here today, Lord. That we can have that same excitement that the prophet had, Lord. What is it that these people have that they just cry and scream and just so excited to hear you? What is it, Lord? I want the same thing in me, God. Please, Lord, I don't want an idea. What does it mean to be a Christian, Lord? Teach me what it means. What does it mean to love that neighbor as thyself, Lord? Teach me, Lord.
Yes.
Please, Lord, just take this word in each individual heart. Let it bring forth that fruit, Lord God, and protect us on the road. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here safely. You receive all the glory and all the praise you deserve. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing it again.
Oh, I'm reaching out to you, Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're all dismissed.